All of the above. Where'd you get that? Means something, I'm sure.
Sound of it.
Nobody taught me how to do this. And for anybody who's wondering, no, I'm not a bit nervous. My memory may go during this time, but that's...
You're wired.
I am, let me tell you. First of all, I want to thank Suzanne for being today's singer, musician. When I found out last week that she was going to be here this week, I thought that was a really great gift, and it is.
I found out you're going to talk today.
Oh. Well, if I put you to sleep, then have nice dreams.
And record.
I will be reading a little bit today. It's going to be all of the above really means a lot of what I felt like I have in my life, a lot of what I feel God has brought to me and I've experienced in my life, a lot of what has been a part of my life here in California for 13 years. And this is going to be interesting. All of the above means for me that all that God has to offer is present, always available. Like the Pacific Ocean, like every drop in the Pacific Ocean has every aspect of the ocean in it. Everything God has to offer is available. And I think in many ways that's the philosophy and the principle which I've spent my life, the last 13 years here in California, trying to learn, trying to gain from, trying to grow from. I won't make... I'm not going to try to hide the fact that I've got to look for my notes. So every once in a while, I'm going to be going like this.
We all do.
So that's why I wrote them. There are two reasons why I wrote these. One, because my memory is not going to hold all this. It doesn't always hold up to my needs. The other reason, I can't seem to remember at the moment. So I'm going to read from my notes. This is really probably the single time that I'll be speaking for Unity. I did this actually for another Unity about 14 years ago. A Unity back in Bryan College Station, Texas, where I happened to be one of the people that helped start it. And so I had a chance to speak there once. And I didn't really know how to prepare. So I just spoke from my experiences from my own background, my own background being Catholicism, Christianity, the connections I have with Jesus, the things I feel like I've learned on my spiritual path. And I spoke kind of extemporaneously, but I didn't really feel like I wanted to do that this time because I felt, well, I just didn't want to be embarrassed. And I felt like there were some things that I really wanted to share, and I didn't want to forget that. I feel like my 13 years in California has been full of learning, and it has been. I came out here from a traditional psychological graduate program, and one evening realized that that wasn't the direction for me. I got up in the middle of class and walked out and dropped one of the classes the next day. As I walked out, do you want me to speak up? Okay. As I walked out, I was confused. I was in a daze. I felt like some part of me was dying. And it wasn't shortly after that that I found the graduate program at JFK. And the moment I found that, I had a vision occur to me. And in this vision, I saw Jesus speaking on the West Coast. And so when I got the material from JFK, I didn't even apply anywhere else. I knew that's where I was going. And whether he was at JFK or not, I don't know. But I know that I've learned from the experience of being here in California on the West Coast. To share what I have today, or myself, has been a challenge. It's public speaking is maybe easy for everybody else, but it's not really that easy for me. I've worked really hard to avoid it over the years. But what I've learned through the years has also helped me to be here. One of the memories I have is from a friend in high school, and when he and I snuck out one night from a band trip, and we were going to the girls' dorm just to visit. And I got scared halfway there, and he turned to me and said, "It's too late to back out now." And we went, and I had a great time. You know, it was all innocent. It really was. But we enjoyed ourselves. But I remembered that. But this time I told a friend of mine last night that I wanted to do this. This is the opportunity that I wanted to come into my life. Not just to speak, but to share a part of me. Because that's what the challenge has been for me, to share myself. Not just the insights I've gained or the nice sayings I've given out or what I've shared about God or anything else, but the parts of me that I'm ashamed of as well. Because that's what I have to teach. Not the second part, but all of me, all of the above is who I am. And all of the above is what I have to teach, just like everybody else. All of us in here right now are teaching each other right now. Because that's what we have. We're the culmination of all that we've ever been. All the past lives, all the in-between lives. And we're the culmination also of the potential we have for all the experiences and everything we will gain in the future. And that's who we have to teach. And that's what we have to teach. Every moment of every day, we're out there teaching somebody. By living just the life we have. By practicing the principles we believe in. And sometimes by stumbling and trying to pick ourselves back up. Part of that for me has been the shame that I've experienced in my life. The shame at times of placing myself above others. Yes, it's true. God has had a very good way of bringing me back down to earth, and that's, of course, having me fall flat on my face. And he kind of points out, yes, that's the earth when I'm down there. That's where I'm meant to be. And that's one of the hardest challenges for me, to see that I'm equal to everybody else. For me, that's humility. And it's one of the best things I can learn too, because that's one of the greatest things. When I do connect with that feeling, when I'm not holding the fear inside of me, that's when I feel the happiest, the most joyful, when I'm connected with everybody else and I see everyone else at eye level. I'm not there alone. It's been a challenge to learn that. Fear has always been an issue with me. I'm a 6 on the Enneagram. Anybody who knows that, knows the Enneagram, knows exactly what the 6 is. We deal with fear every moment of every day. I'm always aware that I'm feeling some fear over something. And for myself, it's been mostly about recognizing that I failed at times, and that those times are coming back around again to give me another try, and I'm scared I'm going to fail again. That's the fear part. The other part of that is that I'm not alone. The steps I've taken, others have taken before me, and the steps I take, others will take behind me. The things I've learned, others are learning, and those things others have learned, I'm going to learn. But I've had to use techniques to deal with the fear. One of those being that what's helped me to realize is that fear is like a pile of dirty dishes. It just sits there. Waiting. Until I deal with it. Until I get in there with the soap and water, touch the dishes, grab them, and start scrubbing. It's always there. It doesn't have any feelings of its own. It's just a part of me. And when I do it, I do it. And in the words of Al Gore, I stand before you, my own man with dirty dishes. So, I've had a lot of personal experiences here in California. I came out here and with basically what I could carry in my car. And I finally found a job when I had $4 in my pocket. The thought of doing this and coming out here and going through this, it didn't even occur to me not to do it. I knew this is what was going to happen. I knew this is where I was going. The thought of coming out here and reaching a point where I had $4 in my pocket, waiting to find a place to live, didn't even occur to me that that would be a tough thing to do. Going back, now that's another question.
Still $4 in your pocket?
Two. A week after I got here, my car exploded on the freeway. Blood and guts all over the place. I limped off the freeway, and there it died. It gave up the spirit. But circumstances were brought about that it didn't take long for me to have another vehicle. What a surprise. God was a part of this trip all along. I knew when I came out here that I came here for specific reasons. To learn something, to take a look at California, to meet people, to meet some specific people, and many friends that are not here today. I learned how to play bridge and cribbage. How many people can say that? While here in California, I had some wild and passionate conversations. What?
Yes.
I learned about computers. I didn't really know that much when I was in Texas. I know that's hard to believe. I helped deliver a baby. I was right there. I yelled, "Breathe!" And I cut the umbilical cord. And I became a godfather. And next weekend I'm going to see them in Colorado. I'll never forget that part. Oh, sorry. That's easy for me to do. I'm not a hands person. So, unless somebody needs some work. I helped bring someone into this world, and I helped a friend leave this world. One of my best friends. She was with me for 11 years here in California, 4 years before. And she was my family out here. I had a heck of a time getting the rest of them out here. But the time came for her to leave. And during that time, I had some very profound learning experiences. I always thought, so I'm talking about So Big, my pet dog. During the time that she was dying, I learned that So Big never belonged to me at all. She was not mine at all. I merely fed her and befriended her. During that time, I also learned that there are a tremendous number of wonderful things about this life that we don't even know about and don't even realize until we lose the one we love and the one we've shared them with. Taking walks. How much more wonderful that is when we do it with someone we care about and we love. Playing. Waking up in the morning. Little things. I wrote a poem about So Big, and I'm going to read part of it. This really was written after a few days after her death. I spent another day remembering and thinking of my heart with my friend. I spent the day reaching to feel her life in that place that is not here. In a few of the moments I grasped and could feel, and then I could see in the moment her life. I spent another day striving to reach another place that holds her now. She knows I reach. I spent another day feeling the tears that come with this other world that I live in now and that she no longer lives in. I spent another day remembering that we shared our lives and shared our thoughts and shared our sadness and sorrow and joy and laughter. We used to play a little play, and we laughed at how we played. We spent the days alive in each other's worlds. We shared a universe, a world, our lives, and now I seek to find what to share again with her. What do I have? I spend another day trying to find something to share with her. I love her and wonder if she can feel it like me. I spent another day reaching, trying to reach, and hopefully at least once in a while, finding my way to touch her and know that she is my friend. And even though we are not in the same universe anymore, I think her universe must be so big. She was a friend, a good friend, but not the only one I had, not the only one I have. While here also, I've owned four cars. Four different cars. I've lived in seven different places. One of them for 7 years, which means I was moving around in those other years. But that's part of student life. I've been part of a church community for 13 years. The same church community for 13 years. I remember when it was in Berkeley. And we had carpet. I became a great uncle. My older sister, by a year and a half, is a grandmother. I'm not sure about that one. I chopped wood and carried a lot of water. I lived through a best friend's suicide. A friend that I worked with in Texas, where we worked side by side, he came out here several years after I did and stayed here for a while. Then he moved back to Texas. It's natural. It's just the way it is. Oh, my rosary. I needed what I needed. My friend Jean was a philosopher, and we worked together at the bar where I bartended, or where he bartended as well. And I found out, in an odd way, I was on a trip going to Texas, driving to Texas. I left Phoenix one evening and was driving into West Texas and could not for the life of me make it there. I could not. I turned back, going back to California. I had a 3-week trip planned to visit my family and friends. I turned back. But then I realized I can't turn back either. So I stopped and just sat. And then morning came and I called California to find out how SOBIG was. There was no problem there. I didn't know what was going on. I just knew I couldn't go any farther. And I couldn't turn back. I was overwhelmed with whatever was going on inside of me. SOBIG was fine. And I called Texas to find out, well, not to find out anything, but tell them that I was having some problems. I talked to my sister there, and I just broke down crying. And told her that it was just too much. I was carrying too much. She said, well, just take it one day at a time. Come and visit. You can cut your visit short if it's too much. And so that felt good, and I kept going. I drove through West Texas, finally made it to Austin, and took the trip one day at a time, except for one day. I cut out one day. And that one day turned out to be the day I chose not to stop and visit his brother. I didn't call and tell him I was in town. I went through the whole trip, came back around, went through Colorado, and came back to California. And that's when I got a call that he was in West Texas and he had shot himself while I was on the road going into West Texas. I sat stunned when I heard about it. It's one of those things where you think it must be a dream. I wish it had been. And I wrote this. Dear Jean, where are the voices that won't sing anymore? Where is the sparkle in the eyes as before? Where is the comfort that we reach for? Where is the love that is given forth? Friend, where are you? That your pain was too much for you. Would that I could hear you in your cry. My sadness goes with you as you have left us. My hunger for you is not filled. We love you still as we remember your life. I recognize you as one of us. In the seeming battle to live, not all survive. There are casualties of the depth of pain and the distance that drowns our voices. You are still with me now in my heart with holes in it. You take me with you in your death. I find myself connected to you beyond the end because it doesn't finish here. The hearts of those still with me are heard beating in my chest, and the life of that within me reveals that you have not left me, for you are in my thoughts and feelings even right now. And life springs forth a little today. The shame I feel, the guilt I feel, the anger I feel at you, at myself, and sorrow and sadness and love I feel because for you, I feel you were my family too. I will not let you go softly into that dark night. I will continue to love you and hold you with all my might. And I will miss you and hold a place for you in my soul. I will not let you go silently into that dark night. I hold a place for you. I hold the love for you still inside my soul, born of years ago, because you were my family too. The healing continues. It's been 4 years now. When I remember him, I pray. I have no doubt that that helps him as well as everybody connected to him. How about a little bit lighter subject? I brought this poem just to lift things up in case they got heavy. Has nothing to do. Well, it has everything to do. Well, it has. No, yes, it does. Writing. Today, I find myself writing. I do a lot of writing, poetry. Well, a lot of things. Today, I find myself writing about the aluminum siding. Yesterday, the words I wrote turned out to be somebody's quote. Tomorrow, I will have written about someone with whom I'm smitten. Written, wrote. Writing, write. There's not a decent poem in sight. Write, writing, wrote, written of this writing bug, yes, I'm bitten. Wrote, written, writing, write. I hope I get some sleep tonight. Help me someone, make me stop. If I can't quit, I think I'll pop. If I should pop, I will regret this poem here of which I read. While here in California, I learned how to trim trees. Thanks to Michael. I met a lot of people. I fell in love a few times. I cried. I laughed. I shared the moments with my friends. Don't ever think it's not hard to do this, to say goodbye and to leave. I've got a friend in Alameda who's been doing her best to convince me to stay even a little bit longer, and she may succeed. My window is, and has always been, November to March. That's the time frame that which I'll decide. I'm looking at November, could change to January. Probably won't change to March. But she's working on me. I wrote a lot of poetry. And all of them are good. Take my word for it. Including this one, which I call At Six. I slipped, I fell, I bumped my knee. I stood and sailed the ship to sea. I opened up the ship at dawn. It steered her till the sun was gone. Upon her bow the waves did break, into the sails the winds did take. Towards horizon she did make, leaving all my sorrows in her wake. At eight I left aboard my sturdy craft, and sailed again upon this solid raft. I let the river guide my way, just to hear what sounds she'd say, drifting to destinations far away, leaving all my heartbreaks here to stay. At 10, I landed on a distant shore, ready to explore as I did before. I didn't stop in my early life. I faced the battle of early strife and conquered the calls to the afterlife and vanquished my foes with a magic butter knife. At noon, when I was a man, I thought, I ventured forth on roads hard fought. I sang inside as my heart beat still, and fought the battle as if uphill. I sought a destiny to live and fill, but I was much too young to know free will. At 16, the seas beat against the rocky coast, and no, it doesn't go every 2 years. At 16, the seas beat against the rocky coast, the captain within too busy to boast. The winds, they tossed my ship at sea, the sails, they ripped as they pulled from me. My grasp of life was tearing free. My boyhood ways I could barely see. At 23 bells, I sought to wake again. I looked and saw what to face, and then I came out to see the rising sun, deciding finally I would not run. I sailed among my fellow men and woke up to my heart again. And as I grew, my heart did wake. Upon my ship, my sails did take. I steered aboard this soul sublime and learned the star to which I align. I sought to live this life of mine with God the guiding light this time. Standing here before you, I realized that I could be considered a teacher, but only in the same sense that we all are, because I'm learning even as I talk. I'm not the same person that I was when I learned the things I speak about. I'm a different person. So even talking about it, I'm listening to myself, learning something new. Likewise, as sitting in the audience 1,000 times, as a learner or a student, it is my belief that we only learn what we already know inside of us. It's always been there, it always will be there. And we know it. Somewhere inside of us, we know it. This reawakening that we do when we listen is just that. And at any moment, we can reawaken ourselves as well just by acknowledging that we know what's inside of us. If you think about the subconscious as a closet, well, we put everything in that closet. And whenever we're ready to take it out again, we'll have to clean the closet a little bit, but or dust it off, or deal with something, decide what to do with it, but we still can take it out. We can acknowledge what's inside of us at any moment and know it. The paradox is that listening, or at least that's something that I feel like I've found out, is that listening heals. Listening heals, in my opinion, more than talking does. So all of you are healing me right now. Thanks. I've got a huge list of things to read, but we're running short of time. So I'm going to skip a few and just read some of the highlights here. Throughout the years, I've written down a lot of insights, a lot of things that have come to me that have been helpful and that I'm trying to learn even now. Just because they came years ago doesn't mean I'm still not working at them. Jesus appears in many people's dreams. He can even have short hair, no beard, a tattoo, be overweight, wear a black leather jacket, and ride a motorcycle. And he did. I had a dream one time. That's what he looked like. And I knew it was him. I feel like I'm learning that love is not just a feeling. It's a motivating force that must be reckoned with. It will move us if we let it. Not just the feeling. Some might think it is, but man, if you let it, it will move you. It'll move us. If we want a direct experience of God, then we can do that by loving someone. Because in our hearts, we'll see and know that that's where God is. God and love, they're the one and the same. I learned in algebra that if God is love, then love is God. Well, I didn't actually learn that in algebra. They were teaching something else, but I don't remember what that was. I learned that we don't have to kill ourselves to live. In dealing with Jean's suicide, I felt like one of the things I was learning that suicide is, from my own understanding, has been the dying going on the inside. And the erroneous thought that if we end the life on the outside, we'll stop the dying on the inside. But that's, I don't think that's true. I think what I'm learning is that to stop the dying on the inside, we have to start the living on the inside. Bringing whatever life, making whatever connection to life that we can. I learned that there's no right or wrong person to love. I don't care if you call it codependence or whatever. There's no right or wrong person to love. The good thing about love is that we can love anybody, anyone, regardless of if there's going to be a relationship or not. But that's also the hard thing about love, because we can love anybody, regardless of if there's going to be a relationship or not. Because love is beyond relationship. I've learned that to not give up, take one more step, just one. Those moments that we have no energy left, just take one step, just one. No more, just one. Just one step. Just one. One. Because that keeps us moving. Just one. When all is lost, when there's nothing left, just take one. Laughing is a valid and effective healing method. Because the spirit of joy that comes in that is the spirit of God. If you ever think we're half crazy, you're right. But everybody is. There are times we are adamantly convinced that when designing our life, God surely must have made serious mistakes. I've also learned that it isn't God that brings pain and turmoil into our lives. It's God that helps us through them. Jesus is alive and well and living in Philadelphia. City of brotherly love. Wouldn't it make sense? Of course, he's also living in Orinda, Berkeley, Timbuktu. For me, Jesus is alive and well and living in our midst. In our hearts, in our minds, if we invite. I've learned that our parents never grow up to be the people we plan for them to be. This saying came, love, you liked it the last time you felt it. Feel it again. And of course I learned that Jesus knew how to tell a good joke. And he could carry a tune. I learned not to put God to the test. God's not the one here needing to learn something. I learned that forgiveness is for giving and for getting. I'll let you read it afterward. Think about it. It'll come. I learned that karma is not a debt to be paid off. It's an injury, desperately seeking to come forth, asking for help to be healed. Like a slice or cut in the universe that we helped put there. And now we're the doctor. And that's coming forth, asking for us to heal it. In the movie Magnificent Obsession, Rock Hudson hits someone with his car and they become blind. He spent his entire life becoming a doctor, coming back and gaining her sight back. That's really what karma is, asking us to heal the wounds of the spirit. I learned that safety is a good thing. We need it. The only time choosing safety is a problem is when we choose safety over love or over life itself, with both of which we do often. I learned that if Santa Claus didn't come once a year, this world would be in terrible shape. It's through shame that we learn that we're not greater than God. When we're back down, seeing, oh, there's the earth, with our face flat against it. I've learned some difficult things as well. Adding to another's pain and suffering does not heal my pain and suffering. A good way of wasting one's entire life: work at making someone else change. Hey, it's something I'm learning, trying to learn. Imagine what it would feel like if Jesus Christ was in this room right now. Imagine what it would feel like. Imagine what if all the roses on the planet were harvested and sent out, mailed to every single person on this planet in one day, and everybody received their one rose, everybody on the planet, in one day, at the same time. What would everyone feel like? What would everyone feel if we all received a rose at the same time? Every 6 billion people on the planet. That's what we're working towards. That's what this path is working towards. That's what we do by working on ourselves, by bringing change, by praying, by meditating. We're working to bring a rose to every single person on this planet. It'll take a while, but that's what we're working towards. To let everyone know that they're valued and thought of by someone, somewhere. I've learned that all of nature is God's art. All of it. And we're running short of time. I want to read one more thing. It'll take a few minutes, but I hope you don't mind. Okay. I'll make it short. And then the last thing. When an artist creates, he or she starts with inspiration, that feeling inside which moves our mind and heart to create a certain flow. An artist is inspired to move the brush a certain way. A sculptor is moved to chip away one part instead of another. A dancer feels a certain energy and dances to answer it. God moves also. God moves and chips and dances to create, express, and shape. And we are that result, or rather some of the results of that movement. God moves in the growth and creation of people, animals, the mountains, land, oceans, and each aspect of all of nature. When we are open, God also moves through us and creates feelings, friendship, compassion, kindness and love, patience, peace, healing. God creates these fruits of spirit, or rather art of spirit, through us. The circumstances we find ourselves in are the raw materials. God hasn't finished his or her artwork either. Change is a constant. Through growth and movement at the subatomic level to the mountains, planets, and galaxy, we see constant change occur. And as change is constant, God's creation of art is constant also. The artistic process for the artist is inspired by the overwhelming, undeniable feelings, thoughts, and beliefs occurring in the artist in that moment. The artistic process for God is inspired by God's love. God's art is inspired by God's love for all life and all creation. That's probably why a sunset is so beautiful, because of what it's inspired by.